Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Moors and Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and today we will have a very explosive broadcast. Our special guest is the Grand National Chairman for the Moorish American Government, and he's going to give us a breakdown on exposing the truth, Masons of African descent in America. We will cover such topics as do the Masons of African descent in the U.S. have the same power as the European Masons inside this country? What is the origin of Masonry? Can a man's wife and children join the temple of the Masonic lodges and all of these things? Did the prophet, Noble Drew Ali, come to expose or pull the cover offer secret societies in America? Can a Mason of African descent be free in the United States? Are Masons of African descent in the U.S. considered real men? What is the secret of the Masons? Who murdered Hiram Abiff? These are just a few of the topics that we're going to cover here today, including the information on your Greek sororities and all of this kind of stuff. And so without further ado, I'm going to go directly into our little formalities about our messages and stuff. And we want to say that we're offering our free articles. For those of you first time being here, we have created some articles for you, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game and How to Play. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, at area code 904-303-9061. Also, we've created one of the most comprehensive libraries in the country that is designed for people of African descent, so you can get in there and study and operate inside this corporation calling itself a country, the United States of America. Now, we have the Moorish American government, and the way to become a citizen for the very first time inside the United States as a person of African descent, because you've never been a citizen of the United States, and you can't now, it's impossible, because the United States is no longer a country, it's a corporation. There's no corporation on the face of the earth can make you a citizen. So we have the Moorish American government, and the way you are registered there to be a citizen is you go to moorishamericangov.org. That's moorishamericangov.org. And you register there, and we have, after that, you want to dial into the national conference call held 7 days a week at area code 760-569-7100. And the access code is 437-966, and you press the pound key. And that's 7 days a week, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you just use your telephone and follow the props on your phone. You dial into the broadcast and announce yourself. You are registered at that point also. And you are *6 your phone, and that starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay? So without further ado, I'm going to bring in our special guest, and so we can get started. Grand National Chairman, are you there?
It's not peace and blessing. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, sir. We're ready to go, and I'm pretty sure that you are. And I'm going to say we want to thank everybody that come out this evening to hear this message, because it's very, very important information, and it's something that we really need to get an understanding about, because there's a lot of mystery and clouds about it. So I'm giving thanks and praises to the great God, and much praises to His holy prophet, Noble Drew Ali. And I'm thanking all the more. So if you would go ahead, sir, you have the floor.
Okay, well, let us, and as a custom of our ancient forefathers, we always begin everything with prayer and by giving our salutation, honors, and praises to the one Creator. And we also extend honor to our forefathers through the prophets and all the great books that's been handed down to us for guidance. And I also want to extend honor to your Blog Talk Radio show, Brother Tahaka Elbey. We have definitely been enjoying your growth and development and your portion in the movement of uplifting fellow humanity. So,
thank you so much, sir.
We have a lot of ground to cover, and the main reason why we wanted to bring forth this particular chapter, well, that's what the chapter, because the chapter's in my book, Noble Drew Ali, the Exhumant of a Nation, chapter 7. And this particular subject matter, the Western Freemasonry, has been one of the most grossly misunderstood, I don't know what to call it, elements, lies, you know, dealing with Western Freemasonry. And it's been grossly misunderstood about our people, because mostly our people do not realize that Western Freemasonry was largely formulated not only behind their backs by the European government and domination, but equally as important, they are. Hold on a second. Let me. Okay. I want to make sure I get my documents lined up here. Okay, that's chapter 7 in my book, Noble Drew Ali, the Exhumant of a Nation. But anyway, we I forward out to everyone on the email that I had access to their email address, and a little article that I did a few years back dealing with the Western Freemasonry as far as the Morris Science Temple, the limitations of Morris Science Temple and the malignancies of Western Freemasonry. So tonight's subject matter will primarily be dealing with the malignancies of Western Freemasonry. This is a topic that the majority of our people, mainly our brothers, will not discuss to any depth or to any truth. And the reason why is because of fear and ignorance, mostly. Western Freemasonry has been about the business of burying, destroying, killing, embalming the continent of Africa and all of its inhabitants. It make any distinction between the men, the women, or the children, its history, its future, legacy, nothing. The whole intent of Western Freemasonry is to destroy everything about the continent of Africa and all of its people that was within their measure. And the good thing about that is that the total capacity of the measure of the nation, of the pale-skinned nations of Europe, is that they cannot measure beyond the things that they can see with their carnal eyes. They cannot measure beyond the things they can hear with their carnal ear. And the reason for this, since their original cloning and placed on this planet by the ancient Kemetians, they could not be given a spirit, meaning a God source, which is, in other words, a seed of perfection. This is often termed in the Bible and other books as the only son of God. And all that means basically is not that God could only have one son. You know, that's really absurd to even think along those lines and think that the saying God would be just. But what it means is that this particular son of God is a perfected seed. This is a cloak cover word. It has much definition to it. And this is the whole world of Western Freemasonry. It has a lot of words that's put on the surface, but it has another meaning when you go in depth. You can easily be deceived by the world of Western Freemasonry if you just look at the symbol of the compass and the square. Most people will not even begin to realize that these are symbols that was created in ancient Kemet, right there in Africa. The European nations didn't have a clue what to do with a rule or a compass or a square, nothing else, for that matter, because they had nothing to build. And because they were not gods, only gods can build and create. And along with that, because they also have the capacity to govern. So anyway, we have to go to the foundation and the origin of Western Freemasonry began in Africa. Make no mistake about it, everything that was produced in Africa wasn't for always for the good. For example, slavery actually began in Africa. Africans were the first people to introduce slavery to the continent. Along that line, when it comes down to certain limitations of what the mind could accept, this is how Africans treated their students. And this is not new. They always come in 3 degrees, belief, faith, and fruition. And these 3 degrees was determined upon your mental capacity to receive, accept, and be the truth. Belief is what you think perhaps is true. At least on this level, you are beginning to think. Faith is what you know is the truth. And then, of course, the last degree is fruition, and this is when you actually become yourself, the truth, or God. So the 3 degrees that you now have presented by Western Freemasonry, they have the apprenticeship, the fellowcraft, and then you have the master mason. And they have this oftentimes in different degrees according to the particular lodge that you might want to join. But I wanted to give these particular histories out because from the time of Alexander the Great, Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates, and it can go back all the way to the time of Moses if you want to, when it comes down to the ancient African teachings going and being exercised into Europe. And both of these teachings, the Europeans began to devise methods of how to use these sciences along with their nature. Okay. It is in the nature of the European to be able to destroy and to not be compassionate about it. They have very little compassion or, should I say, control over the things that they destroy. It doesn't really mean that much to them. That's just a part of their nature. And the reason for this is because it's easy to destroy something if you're not the creator of it. If you are, the last thing on your mind would be killing a child because you knew what it took to go through to bring that child into existence. But if you have never been a parent and you do not have the capacity of bringing forth children, then you may not see children as the same as a parent do. So I'm just saying maybe that's not a good example, but I'm trying to get you to see the fact that if you do not have the capacity to do the things that the other people do, then you're stuck within your particular realm. So the Europeans, therefore, are stuck in such a realm. But what happened from the time of ancient Rome, or should I say the biblical days, about 2,000 years ago, give or take three, and the Europeans began to dominate, to begin to come into existence of world rule, or rulership of the world. And in so doing, they brought with them the many avenues that they knew everything, well, what the government, as they began to formulate governments, what they may call execution. And during the time of Yehoshua, or Jesus, as more commonly known, they would call it crucifixion. Today, okay, you have the same government, and they call it the electric chair, or lethal injection, firing squad. They got 1,000 ways to destroy or to kill, right, a man, but it's still permitted and understood and comprehended by their government. So along down through the years, after many, many wars and conquering places, especially the African conquest, and this began with all the countries, mainly from Saudi Arabia around through the Mediterranean, the north coastal shores of Mediterranean. You're talking about Egypt, Tunis, Tripoli, Algiers, Morocco. These were the first countries to fall to European rule. And as the European, you can tell when the European began to conquer things or think they have conquered it, because the first thing they'll do is to give it another name.
Right.
And what is customary to the Europeans, what they'll do, they will, when they change the name of the original place, or people, or the original thing that was created by the God, people of Africa, then what happened, when they change the name, you actually take away the God source from that special creation or creature or place or event or whatever the case may be. This is a very dangerous thing to do, because it can have some terrible social effects. For example, today it's used to us to hear refer to our children as kids.
Right.
And if you look up the definition for the word kid, it's a young goat.
Right.
But it's become acceptable as a term that we apply to our own children. Well, once you take away the son and the daughter, take away the power of that child being a direct descendant of a god, and you call it now a descendant of a goat, then you take away the powers of the original intent of the existence of that special being. And so this holds true with everything, whether you're talking about the Queen Victoria Falls, or they renamed the Egypt, or the Sphinx, or many, many, many other things, including and especially us as a people. So when slavery, the West African slave trade began, back as early as 1492, it wasn't the beginning of slavery, but the West African slave trade, meaning that when West Africa was began to be used as commerce and trade and property for the purpose of profit. And it turned out that the lead African country to house this particular West African slave trade was Morocco. And if you notice, the flag of Morocco holds the five-pointed open green star. Now, you should really, really pay attention to this special star, because this star represents the God-man on Earth. That's why it's an open star, and it's standing on all 2 feet. But the 5 points of the star represents love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. And And when you incorporate all this, these five principles into human form, then you have an African God people, those who are about the business of living the life of being a god. Now, what happened when it come down to the West African slave trade, the European governments and rules and rulers, be it Queen Isabella, King Ferdinand, you can just go on and on. But what they did, they began to collaborate and conspire with other ruling agencies and governments. For example, like Rome, the Pope, or the Vatican, if you will, had a big hand in the West African slave trade. In fact, they were getting 25 cents off every dollar for every African that was captured and exported out of Africa. So the Catholic, they call it the Christian Crusade, but it was actually the Catholic Crusade. So the Catholic had a big hand in the West African slave trade. Well, so did the people of the Great Quran. And this, too, was being dominated by the European ruler. Now, this is sort of hard for the African brothers and sisters here in the United States to understand it, because they do not know that most of their teachings that they have received here about the Great Quran or Islam or Saudi Arabia, most of these things have been given to them by people that didn't care nothing about them in the first place. So it doesn't matter that much about what the Quran says. If you cannot interpret it in its actuality, then you really don't have a clue as to what the people are doing, because these are the same people that had the Quran in their hand, saying their fatiha five times a day, facing a rock, while they was enslaving you in the meantime. There's something wrong with that picture. Anyway, the Jews, too, had a big hand in our enslavement, those who call themselves Jews. And there was much participation in many of the governments throughout Africa. And the way that worked was that the majority of the governments had come under what is now known as the Islamic rule. Well, Islam is a theocracy. Islam is a theocratic form of government.
Okay.
Similar to the way that we have our government today, is a theocracy, not a republic, but a theocratic government. Now, the difference between a theocratic government and any other kind of rule is the fact that you have the great God at the top. Then in the middle, you have the prophets and all the holy books. Nothing supersedes these two. And then you have on the last level, you have what is known amongst the populace, you have what is called the ministers, rabbis, imams, those who are administering or interpreting the laws that's coming from on at the top, okay, meaning the great God, the holy books, and the records of this nature. So this is how theocracy works. And as the Islamic or theocratic Islam, as a theocratic government, began to come across the continent of Africa, out of Saudi Arabia, introduced by the angel Jibril through, or an Egyptian adept through Muhammad, it was grossly misinterpreted. And a lot of the governments and tribes and kingdoms and rulers of the continent of Africa became absorbed into the mystique of what is now known as the new Islam, or the final version of Islam. But it was not really Islam at all, quite the contrary, because what it did, it forced the people to turn against their own citizens. There was no more ancestral or descent nature or ancestral line. There was no more honor system where you honored your elders. The only thing that mattered then was either you was obeying their Islamic rule and calling faithful, or you was on the other end as an infidel. There was no bloodline, no relationship, no citizen, no descent, none of that. The New World of Islam wiped that out as it came across the continent. And even to this very day, it's the same thing. They had misinterpreted the title of the name of Faithful, as though that was to mean that your loyalty was directly to the Prophet Muhammad, as you say, you take the Shahada. In other words, you pledge your allegiance to the great God and Muhammad and as the Prophet, and that was it. That's ball game right there. Nothing else mattered. But that is not the truth. That's not the way that you return to your God state. But anyway, what happened, the Europeans utilized this trauma of the theocratic government as one of the weaknesses, along with the Jews, who had already enveloped the world into a lot of foolishness and superstition and fake things as far as being God is concerned. They did not propagate the Jesus theory. That was most of the Europeans, but nevertheless, under these religious concepts, this is how the Angels of Western Freemasonry became into existence. And it was usually done by the Templar Order back in the UK, really. You had the Scottish Rite Orders, and then you had the those that were down in around closer to France or the UK. And these are the Yorks. Okay, so, and these two, between these two brothers, European brothers, they began to show their dominance wherever they began to rule and conquer the world, where it was that Egypt. Egypt was the primary target, and this is key. Egypt was the primary target of world rule, so it doesn't matter whether they became a big game hunter and began to assault animals throughout this in African continent that they've never seen before. But they would take the heads of an elephant or a water buffalo or an alligator or a bird or whatever, and they would mount this thing, and this is the trophy to them. And like so, every time they would dominate something or destroy something, they would call it, rename it, and call it whatever they will. And this was theirs because they conquered it, or if you will, killed it. Mm-hmm. So in coming out of Africa, one of the things that they conquered the African people when they conquered Egypt. Egypt was the capital of Africa, as Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States.
Right.
Egypt was the capital of the entire dominion or the continent of Africa. Africa has more countries, even to this day, than the United States have states. Okay? That's saying quite a bit, considering that these countries are larger than states, which will give you an idea of the size of the continent of Africa in reality. But nevertheless, as they begin to dominate and conquer Egypt, this was created a symbol when they began to rule here in the West. The colonies themselves was a corporation under the British rule. Also, portions of it was controlled and ruled by Spain. Other portions of this country was ruled by this continent, was ruled by France. Those three European systems of government was what conquered the American, North American and continent, along with the Jordan Islands. So I have to give this kind of history so that you can understand that when it comes down to dominating the Moors of Africa, then that means that they did not have a land, they didn't have a history, no family. If you wonder how making Negroes or making black people was so successful, it's because of the way that this particular system was introduced. It was had the covers or the overtures of religion, mainly Islam, Judaism, and Catholicism.
Okay.
This is the three bandits, if you will, known as Jubilo, Jubilar, and Jubilum. And it was these three heads that went about the assault placed upon the continent of Africa and all of its inhabitants. And as a result of this, since they was since the ruler is the only one that can actually publicize or utilize the media in its full effect, only the rulers can tell the story of their conquest. But you have to be careful to not let the criminal describe the crime.
That's right.
And this is what happened when it come down to the denationalization process of the Moors that was covered over by Western Freemasonry. And the way this happened was that as they began to capture our people and enslave them, they killed millions, I mean millions and millions and millions of our people that was inhabiting the islands in the Atlantic, the Caribbean islands, all of the islands. I mean, I'm talking about not just a little small island like Haiti. You're talking about big islands like Cuba, okay, Jamaica. These islands was completely, the original inhabitant was completely devastated, taken out, and replaced this with this human cargo that they had stolen from West Africa. And it was covered up because there was no one to report the media, because we've always transmitted our origin by word of mouth.
That's right.
The records, the forefathers, you know, we would sit around the campfire and just talk, and tell the story. And this is how it was transmitted. But the European has another system of recording their history, okay? And that they would always place their seal upon the stories that they told. And this is the, and the usually their stories had to do with some form of murder. You can call it conquest or whatever case may be, but this is just in the European nature. This is how what is now known as the United States became a corporation, became a government, became a whatever, okay, because they placed a seal on their story. And this particular seal that was placed on the story here was known as the greatest seal that the United States had, or the Masonic Order had, was the conquest of the African continent. Now, you must bear in mind that Africa itself was the one that produced all the sciences to the west of the world. I'm talking about China would not be China without Africa, Japan, India, all of Asia. You're everywhere wherever there's sciences of astrology, astronomy, mathematics, all of this came out of Africa. But if you didn't know any better, listen to the European seal, then it's a whole other ball game. And Africa gets no credit. There's nothing there but Tarzan and a bunch of monkeys. So
right.
The seal that the Masons used to prove their dominance, they did not use the head of the elephant or the water buffalo, but they used the pyramid as the form of their seal to tell their story, his story or history. The European history is under the seal. Now, if you look at the seal of the United States, on one side of the federal building or the federal coin, you find the pyramid. Now, everybody know in their right mind that Europeans have never built a pyramid. But they've
right.
got the pyramid there as part of their national seal, and it's got the all-seeing eye detached away from the rest of the body of the pyramid. The bricks in the pyramid represent nations that they have conquered. And this, the total conquest of Africa was completed in the year of 1776.
Uh-huh.
This is why it is that the United States used this seal using Roman numerals or Roman numbers. Underneath of that saying 1776 is when we conquered Africa. This is our seal. This is our trophy. And that's what it is. So that's just one of the symbols. Another one of the symbols is that they have this coffin. in every lodge, they have a coffin. And most of the time, the coffin is drawn or it's in some kind of a template or whatever the case may be, but it's there in every lodge. And the key to this coffin is who is in the coffin.
That's right.
And the name of the person in the coffin is called the body or Herem Abiff. And this is the biblical name, meaning the West African God man or the African God man, known as Herem Abiff. Now, it takes a powerful person to demonstrate a coffin in their highest ideal, known as a lodge. And their most worshipful master proudly sent himself upon this special coffin. But every time the coffin has been demonstrated or shown, it has an acacia tree over top of it. In other words, the coffin is not buried. It's like a, what's it called? When you bury somebody above ground, it's called something. My mind is up in time over right now. I get it. But it's like a mausoleum, one of them. But anyhow, this is what it is, because the coffin is always above ground. And it has an acacia tree, which is, this tree is indigenous to the continent of Africa.
Okay.
Also on the coffin is the five-pointed star that we spoke about a little earlier.
Right.
To give you an idea of what's in or who is in the coffin, you've got the African acacia tree that's indigenous to the continent of Africa. That's the only place it grows or did. Was in Africa. Okay, now you got lodges and secret society named Acadia. But anyway, then you had the five-pointed open star on the chest of the coffin just in case somebody forgot. They wanted to make sure that it was no mistake about who is in the coffin.
Right.
Now, I wanted to give that bit of a history because what we have today, and this to get to the root of our subject matter, we have the so-called African brothers today. Some call themselves black man. Some even call themselves Moorish Americans. And they will address themselves as grand sheiks and grand hoobahs and what have you. And they're Masons. They call themselves Masons. But the truth of the matter is, for the time, and Prince Hall was the first Negro Mason who developed the first Negro Masonic Lodge. This was before the United States even became the United States. It was still a colony under the British rule, meaning part of their corporation. And they had a flag, Britain developed a flag, and this is key also, to fly over their property, or in other words, their colonies, that they were taxed to death. And this particular flag was a red-white flag with a green pine tree in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But today, a lot of Moors fly this flag, claim that it's their flag, the continental flag, and it belongs to them. And they also claim the Treaty of Friendship in Morocco and the United States. But the only thing about the problem with that is, and these are Mason brothers who call themselves Mason, that's horsing the flag of the United States, the flag of Morocco that was selling them into slavery, the United States was buying them, us. Mm-hmm. When I say them, I mean us.
Mm-hmm.
And the flag that flew over the colony was from Britain. This was part of their flag that they planted on their soil and their conquest, which was the colonies. Okay. Now you got some unconscious men who do not have a clue of their national or their free national name. They don't have any idea of what it means to be a nation of people because they have been denationalized, which is a high crime. We discussed this last time I was on your show. And they don't have an idea that you cannot be a man without being a nation first. okay? They really don't have a clue.
Okay.
And they call themselves Masons. Well, they have a three-step degree that they give to the Masons, and they say that once you become a Mason, you become free, ancient, and accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it comes to the so-called Negro men, African men, or whatever the case may be, a bigger lie could never be told. Number one, it's impossible for a Negro to be free. Free from what? And free to do what? And be what? Ancient, a Negro can't be ancient. A black man is no longer, can be no older than the United States, because that's where they was made at. Made
okay.
in the U.S. of A. All black people made right here. No black people came out of Africa. They were made right here. And when it comes down to being accepted, I don't have to say this too often or too loud, but who in the hell accepts black people anywhere in the world as a people? Nobody.
Nobody.
There's not a country on earth that will come to that's an ally of the so-called Negro African man, especially those who call themselves Masons. Because the real definition for a Negro Mason or an African Mason is that he's a snitch. He's a yes-yes for the Europeans, the most worshipful master, his most worshipful master. That's who he has to report to about his people. That's why you find most Negro Masons today are principals of schools. They are brothers who come out of college, they got so much education. The one thing they do have is a job. You better, because you can't be a Mason unless you got money working somewhere. And but the thing about it is that their most worshipful master is still the slave master. That's who they have to report to. This is the reason why the Negro to this day, or the Moors who call themselves Masons, they're still nationless, cannot be a people. They've got no one else to report to. There's no government. They don't have a government. They don't have a nation. They don't have nothing. Not long the status of being a free national entity. Okay, nothing at all. So I wanted to point this out because the article that I put out about West Freemasonry and the Moorish Science Temple, this is what happened to the Moorish Science Temple. Noble Dwali warned the Moors time and time and time again. The Mason was so thick when he first got back from Egypt over in New Jersey. They were his own brothers. When they found that the Noble Dwali did not have any formal, recognizable European education. In other words, he didn't go to PS school number so and so. He didn't graduate from, Bucknell or, Princeton or Yale or Harvard or no other European school. When they found out that he didn't have no formal education, then they would begin talking bad about the prophet. This is at Newark, New Jersey. And although J. Rod and a few other college boards was his students, they virtually ran Noble Dwali out of New Jersey.
Okay.
And when it got to Detroit, Michigan, it was basically the same thing, as well as Chicago, where they eventually ended up killing them. But the thing about it is, they was going to the European, they were snitching on it to the European slave masters, having them locked up. Now, we don't have any jails. We don't have any courts, no courtrooms, no judges. Okay, so therefore, when we turn against our own people, who do? We report them to who? Our most worshipful master. This is what Masons
right.
do.
Right.
Okay? And if you get out of order, it happened to me on many occasions. Lord, Master, pleasure me down there trying to free the boat. Look, he talking about nature time, Master. He doing this, pleasure me doing that. They talk about my book, all kinds of things. I've been putting up with it for years. They even had me locked up, just like you did the prophet. Okay? The thing about it is that, when I was in the Moorish Science Temple, Robert Lovell and his Messiah, because he's a Mason to the bone. And what they did against me for teaching the same thing we're teaching now, I mean, for as long as you know, I've been teaching the same thing. And it's these same truths that they would not allow in the temple because they don't want the people woke up. They don't want the members woke up. You can call yourself a Morris America, but it means that you're a member of the temple, not a citizen of a nation.
Okay.
Okay. Which totally annihilate the purpose for Noble Dwali. Okay. Which the duty of a prophet is to save nations from the wrath of Allah. Okay. From the wrath of God. In other words, when you turn your back against the Creator, something's going to happen to you. Usually slavery. Okay? So the job and the duty of a prophet is to save their special people from this. And that was the purpose of Noble Dwali, as was the purpose of Muhammad, as was the purpose of Yehoshua, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Solomon, Hezekiah, all of these great prophets, they had the same purpose, okay?
Okay.
So Noble Dwali was no exception to this rule. He came to us with the same had the same duty, and that was to free us as a nation of people because we are the only people on the planet that's not a nation. So he brought us everything it took to put us together and save us as a nation. But you can't do that because there's so much interference. Well, I'm sorry, you couldn't do that the last 82 years because there's so much interference behind our Masonic-minded brothers who think they are Masons. They'd rather be Masons than be a Mo. In other words, they turn against their own women, their own children. They can't be fathers. They can't because they'll go and suck up and kiss butt to the European court and knowing they got to pay child support. They'll still go as a master. They try to free this master. This organization, the great city, they tried. And most of these organizations that's under so-called Morris science today, look at the leaders and see how much Masonic connection do they have.
Mm-hmm.
Especially those that are Morris science, some of the Great Seal, ISIS. You can go through the Nuwabia, you can go through the Wachita, the same thing. Everybody wants to be a Mason. And why? Correct me if I'm wrong. But wasn't it the Masons that enslaved you? I mean, George Washington, let's be realistic about this matter. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and the Moors want to holler, well, Benson was he was a Mo. Well, hell, so was Clarence Thomas. Okay, he's on the Supreme Court bench, but he's still a slave. Oprah Winfrey, she got all this money, but she's still a slave. She's not a free person. She don't have no nation. You know, I give all to the little sister, Gaddy. She's out of Virginia, over the Winter Olympics. But she's still a little slave child. She's representing the United States. Not a nation of her own. Okay? So I'm just saying that to say how important it is that our people have got. It's up to you to free yourself as you. Okay? So I know you got to, you know, do it to little commercials and things right now. So I'll continue on with any question, whatever you want to go to next. You can ask the questions, okay?
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate that. And ladies and gentlemen, all of y'all that's tuned in, we got the entire switchboard is all the way down to the bottom. We got people from all over the country, and judging from the area codes that I'm looking at, we also have people from other parts of the world. This is some very, very powerful information, and you did an excellent job on the background information, and we're going to go into the next part. But I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are in the United States, you have to understand that you have never been a citizen of the United States. You're not a citizen now, and neither can you ever be. But the Moorish American government is in existence, and you can go ahead and place your information at MoorishAmericanGov.org on the census, and you can dial into the national conference call 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time 7 days a week by simply dialing 760-569-7100, and the access code is 437966, and you just press the pound key, and they will ask you who's calling and where you're calling from. You tell them. And go ahead and stop, fix your phone, and get ready for the education of a lifetime. And this is 7 days a week. One other thing, once again, for those of you who are just tuning in, we are offering our free articles and the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game. The way you access that is simply by contacting me, Tahaka Montel Bay, at area code 904-303-9061. And whatever you do, do not send any emails to Tahaka99@yahoo.com. That account has been hijacked in an attempt to stop you from receiving the type of information that you're receiving now. So you'll have to contact me by telephone in regards to that, those free articles, as well as the most comprehensive library inside the country for people of African descent, and it's available to you. We also have, for those who like to do deep research, we have the your Black's Law Dictionaries, Volume 1 through 9, Bouvier, Bloomberry, and the like, and that's available to you as well. And where you access that by contacting me, 904-303-9061. And please call me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get that, get you in there and get that information to you. Grand National Chairman, I do have a question. And
talk about, before you do, I have one more descriptive, two more things to say. One, and I want to, because this is key, I do not want your audience or anyone thinking that I'm opposed to any of my people. Quite the contrary, I am pro-freedom for my people, okay? And I describe Western Freemasonry oftentimes as handcuffs, meaning this, is that handcuffs only serve one purpose. They're designed to restrain, okay? So it doesn't make a difference if they lay in your living room, you put them in the back window of your car, put them on your license plate, it doesn't matter what you do with them. The thing about it is that the minute you pick up Western Freemasonry, then you are enslaving your people. So it's got nothing to do. I'm not opposed to the Morris Science Temple. I'm not opposed to Wachita and none of the other efforts that our people make, you know, with themselves. I am pro-freedom, though. And as long as you connect yourself with Western Freemasonry, you can never be free, because that's the handcuffs. It was designed to enslave you. That which is designed to enslave you cannot also free you. That includes the United States, all of its courts and laws. Okay, now you can go.
Okay. All right. Now, I certainly appreciate you giving that us that clarity. My question is, and I see what we got one hand raised, and we're going to get to that if you can answer this question briefly. And how much power, one more time, how much power do the Masons of African descent, the Brothers of, and Sisters of African descent, Freemasons and the Eastern Stars, how much power are they actually exercising inside the United States corporation today?
None, absolutely none. If there be a semblance of power, the only thing that they have would be to enslave their own people. This is the only power that they have. I don't care who they are. You know, I've got daughters and things that, oh, they're so proud to be part of this sorority, the Alpha, Beta, Beta, and whatnot. And, you know, the Greek society, that right there alone ought to tell you something, okay? But our people who call themselves and join these different, the Eastern Stars and Daughters of the Isis, Daughters of this and the Daughters of the Moabites and what, we even got, in the temple they got names for the Daughters of Drew Ali, all kind of crap. The thing about it is that none of this stuff can free you. Why is it that all these titles and jobs have been around, but none of our people is free as a nation yet? How can you have all this and not be free? What is that telling you? If you call yourself an Eastern Star, then how come you ain't got no more power over your man than to take him downtown to the slave master? Okay? If you call yourself a most worshipful master, how come you ain't got no more power? You better not go nowhere and do nothing with it when you get there. Because you're not free as a people. That means you are powerless. the only sovereignty or the only government you can have, sovereignty is a power that governments have to secure, protect, and to guide its citizens. If you don't have a government, you got no power. And the United States ain't your government, not the government which you can live, because that ain't living.
Okay.
I'm trying not to get crunk up here.
Well, we want you crunk. Okay, I'm going to open up the first line here, and when you all come in, please be specific and brief so we can get to the next caller and get your questions and comments out there, okay? All right, we at area code 229. Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from? What's your question or comment?
Justin Zerbe calling from America, Georgia. Praise Allah, honored Prophet Noble Drew Ali, and peace and love to you, Master Teacher, and to you, Brother Tahaka. Master Teacher, the Prophet knew my heart on my question I have, but let me briefly say, I've seen Bill Gates, 50 billion, excuse me. I've seen other wealthy Europeans. I've seen European co-op things. I've been part of several largest. My question is it true that the Europeans, they are working very hard to make sure that we don't find out the truth, that our people don't find out the truth, what they have done to them and still doing to them with mental slavery? And isn't it true that they are doing this because they're upset with themselves at their own dinner table? When they think about it, they really don't have a damn thing, sir. Is that true? Is I'm correct about that? They don't have anything. Everything they got, sir, came through from us, and they stole everything out of Africa. Isn't this one of the reasons they're so upset and they're pushing hard to prevent all these, you know, truths from coming out? Because they're going to lose everything that they have?
Okay, friend.
Okay. Now, the European control came when they was able to delete, or should I say smother, and hide the truth, shadow it. Okay, they couldn't kill it, but they was able to enslave it and place it under a particular dominion. Now, the European rule, they don't want to die, although they like death, but they don't want to die. And we are forbidden to amalgamate or marry with them, because if we as Africans was to amalgamate with the pale skin nation of Europe, they would become totally extinct within 50 years. Because you cannot have, you put an African and a European together, the baby is always going to come out Africa, it's going to come out God. It would never come out a European, never. So therefore, they would become totally extinct as a people within a 50-year period. And then we'd be charged with genocide. The thing about it is that they are not the hindrance to us. They do not have the power to free the Moors. That's why those Moors who call themselves Masons have not been freed. Because they're imitating the European. You cannot imitate the slave master and think that you're off the plantation. Okay? They're just like an inmate who is just sucking up to the warden because he's a trustee. Okay? But he's still locked up. He ain't free. The warden go home when they get ready. So when it comes down to the European, the United States, and they were all like that, they do not have the power to free us as a people. So when it comes down to Bill Gates and everybody, if you really want to know what they're made of, now that we have a government in place, refer them to your chairman and to your grand chief. Then we find out what they're really all about. Okay, but don't count them out. Say, look, you got so much money, why don't you just go ahead and help the Moors free themselves? Let them have enough money. Give them a few million dollars over here. A few million dollars over there. Okay? That's how you find out what they're made of. But otherwise than that, they're harmless. They are powerless. It's up to us to exercise our power. And all we got to do is raise our head up as a people. Because we actually own every government, every country, every nation, every kingdom, west between Egypt and Hawaii. That means all the waters and islands and lands and everything, continents, all of it belongs to us. That's Morris America. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay, we're going to area code 347.
Hello.
1 second here. Hey, hello, brother. Could you tell us who you are and where you're calling from and what's your question or comment?
Yes, I'm Brother Anthony. I'm calling out of New York City.
Okay, Anthony, let us have it.
I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
My first question is to the guest. Have you ever heard of the Morris Rite Masons? And if so, what are your thoughts on that rite of masonry?
I often detest answering a question with a question. Yes, I have. In fact, I got a picture of them in my book. The thing about it is that are they free? Do they have a government? Are they a nation of people? Where are the women and children that make up the nation? So that's my answer. I've heard of them, but they're just another club, another a bunch of slaves on the side. And I'm not speaking disrespectful, but they got nothing until they become a people with their own government. And you can't have a government and your women over here because you got some secret that they can't have. What kind of nation you going to be if you ain't got no women to help you build it? And they're the one that saved your life while you were asleep. So that's what I think about that, okay? Where's the freedom at? Where's the nation at? Where's the government? That's what I have to say about it.
Okay, I'm going to area code 203.
Hello?
Area code 203. Hello, come on in.
Yeah, my name is Al McCray. I'm calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut. I have a couple of comments and questions. I wanted to ask, when actually did the Moors start? I heard from Bobby Hemmett that the Moors were basically priests that took when our people were going to fall. It was the Moors' responsibility to take the Egyptian mystery secrets out of Egypt and preserve them. And he said that part. But now I'm thinking that since the Moors had these secrets, and they were able to establish all of these civilizations and conquer Europe. So like when in 1492, when Columbus started coming around and warring against the Moors and the Moors started falling, did the Moors make some kind of special deal like, okay, we'll teach you some of these secret sciences like through secret societies like Freemasonry if you give us special political status, if you give us a special political status, and we'll turn over the rest of our people to you. In other words, did the Moors make a special deal with the white man, teach them secret sciences and stuff like that, because they knew they were getting their butt kicked and basically sold their people out, our people out? So, you know, that's one question and comment that I have. The second one is the Moors talk about freeing ourselves and learning law and so forth and learning the Constitution because we taught the Constitution to them, and that somehow we have some special break in the Constitution and we have to exercise our rights. But my thing is, is there any documented cases on YouTube where the Moors actually won in court as far as you don't have to drive, you don't have to have a driver's license and, you know, all of these special things that they say that you have to have.
Okay.
Let me answer your question. Let me take the second one first, okay? You will never, ever find a government in the courts of another government. There's a reason for that. Because every government recognizes the sovereign powers of another government. When it comes down to battling and going back and forth with the Constitution of the United States, that is not our Constitution. That's the same constitution that was used to enslave us as a people. Okay? The only good thing about the United States Constitution was that it brought us all together as one group of people that need to be free. That's why we all had the same one free national name. That's the only good thing about it. Otherwise than that, you cannot find freedom in the courts of the United States for any other government or nation of people, especially those that they have enslaved. So all that rights to travel and straw man and commercial code and all this, right? You are powerless, damn it. Power, you ain't got no power. Excuse me for fussing. Okay? But all these things, when you go, and you, I know a lot of brothers, I know where you're coming from with this. They specialize in mastering another man's legal system. Where is your own at? Where is your constitution? Where is your government? Since you ain't obviously ain't got no freedom, the United States has been around a couple hundred years, and you ain't got no freedom from it yet. So what makes you think you'll get some now? Okay? You don't need their permission to be yourself. You got the United Nations, you've got the Geneva, you got all kinds of international laws for indigenous people that's right there at the ready. All you got to do is use them. But you have to use self-determination with enough love for each other that you want to see yourself as free. You've got to be free. That's the only way out. But you can't get free through another man's government, especially when that government was used to enslave you. Now, your first question, it had to do with heredity, descent nature. We was never less than God, okay? Then, in fact, the only reason why slavery was successful, and we did participate in it, like you suggested, it was our people under the Islamic rule that sold out our people, and they're doing it right now, this very day, all right? The so-called, it's just ridiculous. Everybody wants to face a rock five times a day and look for Allah. Which that makes you a pagan. Anytime you got to look anywhere outside of yourself to serve a god, you're a pagan, period. That's proven in the great Quran that they also have behind their back. So when it comes down to the heritage, look at the definition for the word Moors. How old are the Moors? The Moors is a committee. That's spelled C-O-M-I-T-Y. They are a company of they are the Moabites, the ancient Moabites. When I say ancient, they go all the way back to before the fall of man, before we actually took on human form. Okay, for a long time, when we was in and out of this planet, we didn't even have a human form. If we did, we didn't use it that long. Okay, because we were masters. The flesh can't, it was like a vehicle. The flesh can't think of reason anyway. So as we became, and this is before the great earthquake that brings up the continents. So as later centuries went along, millennia went along, then we began to the fall, which we now taken on and known as humans. So we became the ancient Moabites and the conglomerate or committee of the Canaanites and Hamathites. The Hamathites, Canaanites, and Moabites, you put these three together and you got the Moorish. Okay? We are the ones that developed the kingdoms and everything else west of Egypt. Everything east of Egypt was already taken care of. We had already set that up. China, Japan, India, da da da. We already did that. Okay? Now the time to come westward. And that's what we did with Tunis, Tripoli, Algiers, Morocco, Ghana, Congo, so forth and so on, all the islands. We was here building pyramids and mounds and things before they even built the pyramids in Africa. That's how good we are. So these are the Moorish. Don't sleep on the word Moorish. Don't take it lightly like it's something new or something come out of the Mediterranean or some got some connection with Morocco. The only connection we had with Morocco was that we are the mothers and fathers of it. We founded it. That's the only connection we got with Morocco, with little bastards. Anyway, go ahead, Mo, with your question. I told you not to give me crunk up.
All right. We're coming straight down here to Jacksonville, Florida, area code 904. Area code 904. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, question and comment?
Hello?
We hear you loud and clear, sister.
Oh, okay. Hey, Brother Tahaka.
How you doing there, Miss Hunter?
All right. That's my slave name, Sharon Hunter. But my other name, my Morris name is Sharon Bay.
Okay, Miss Bay.
Well, the one with the email address today.
Yeah, I sent it to you today. I finally got a chance to do it. I was sending it to the wrong email address.
I saw you put it in front of it. I saw that. But your email box is loaded up now. Have you seen it?
I hadn't had a chance to get back on there and check it yet, but I will.
Oh, okay.
All right, but I just wanted to comment that I was enjoying the show, and myself, until I met Tahaka and started learning more about my history, I was the same as everybody else. I went to a majority white university, pledged a sorority there, and until I met him, I was actually quite proud of that. I used to boast about, you know, I was a member of this sorority and I've got all of this education and degrees, and I thought I really was intelligent until I found out that I had a lot of years of miseducation and lies and things of that nature. But listening to the show tonight about all the different organizations and things of that nature, and how you really can't be free until you're a member of a government. And I just didn't understand what was the harm in being a part of those organizations if those organizations are doing nothing but, you know, good or supporting and uplifting your own people that's involved in it. So, and I still don't really see the harm of being a part of that. I know it's not going to set us free or anything of that nature, but if you're just uplifting your own people and you're working for the good, what's the harm of being a part of one of those organizations?
Okay. As far as the harm is concerned, let's put it like this. If the master word here is nation, N-A-T-I-O-N, the master word is nation. So let's find out what does it take to make up a nation. Doesn't it take families? Okay, that means you got to have, somewhere along the line, you got to have a mother, you got to have father, you got to have sons and daughters. These is what formulates family. You get a bunch of them together, and you put them together constructively, and you got a nation. Okay, but if you got the women over here, let's just turn the star inverted. Let's turn it upside down. Keep it there. Because you must remember that as long as the star is on its feet, it represents that the blessings are coming in through the pyramid, through the top of the cranium, through the soft spot, or through the seventh chakra. Okay? But if you turn the star upside down, then she getting her blessing from between her legs. Okay? So if she's on one side, the man is over here because he's a frat. He's a fraternal order. Now, what I want to know is, how much did this contribute to being a nation? There's nothing wrong with, because the sororities, they're fine. Sister just as happy, you know, being the matrons and everybody. But except when you get a really real high in order, you still can't do it without having a brother there. Okay? But still, the brothers over here, they say they got some secret that they can't share because they want Ruth looking in the window on the second floor. So they got some secret. But the secret is they're the one that's in the coffin. And they don't want the women to know it. So there's nothing wrong with being a part of the sorority. The problem is, does it stop you from being a nation of people? Okay? because that's what it's designed to be. Anytime you master the letters of the Greek, you can't be Moorish. It's just that simple. So it's not that you have been so much miseducated, it's that you have not been educated. So don't pay the miseducation on mine. You just, it's up to your people and you, and you are a goddess. Oh, I love the way you talk. Just your voice alone is uplifting. It's up to you to be able to lift your own people and to teach your own people. I could tell you a host of goddesses like yourself, and I think the youngest one is in her 50s. The oldest one, good gracious, in her 90s, I guess. Most of them are down in Atlanta. But they're all over the place, and they got more healing elements. It's crazy. They can start a whole hospital unit, except their own insurance company want to, because they can heal anything you weren't born with. And they are pulling together, and they've been matrons and sororities and everything like yourself, but they are now coming together as a nation of people. And I'd like to send you their email addresses, too. Let you get catch up with some of your own, and they can tell you about the sororities, okay? There's nothing wrong with it, but we've now found that all the sororities in the world would not put you together as a people, and that's what's wrong with it. What we're concerned about now is being able to love you and for you to love us as our goddess, okay, as someone that can really help guide us and not guide enough. You can guide a bunch of women all you want to, but it's not going to produce a family. Okay? So that's what I have to say about that.
Okay. We're going on to the next caller. And we are going to area code 973. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Yes, peace to the room. My name is Rasul Amin. I represent Independent Ministry, and my theme is how to put the neighbor back in the hood. I'm calling from New Jersey. And I'm really enjoying the program. And my question is more dealing with solution. I learned some things tonight, and I like what you're saying. But my question is this. First, I have a comment. African-American, nigger, negro, black, Bilalian, pan-African, whatever title we like, we are a wounded people that need a serious healing. And we live in an oppressive word environment. Example, Lil Wayne, the rapper, came out with an album. He sold 1 million copies in a week. I'm not a human being. A very dangerous language to put out here in society for people that's not thinking. I'm very big with the youth. So my question to you is, what is the solution? You know, on a lot of programs I hear about what happened to us, our history, but not much on solution. So in my endeavor, in my little ministry that I work in the streets in the hood, could you give me some advice on, you know, what is the solution for us as a people? Because, you know, many people go in different directions. They go Christianity, Islam, whatever. But if the healing is not taking place, I don't care where you go, that's not going to be transformed. So could you share some insight, please? Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's an excellent question because you remind me so much of myself when it comes to that neighborhood. You know, I came up the same way. Everything from the Boy Scout to the Black Panthers. So I know what it's like to be there in the hood and doing everything to help your people. Swimming, meat, fish fries, the whole nine. So, but the thing about it is that there's only one way, and we've got to take into consideration that we have been enslaved as a people. We have been enslaved, and we are one people. It doesn't make any difference how other people want to dress us, because some of us got dreadlocks or some of us got perms. Some of us is in Jamaica, we may be Rastafari, and others say they're Christian. Some say they're Muslim. No. You are one people, and you're going to be that until such time you realize that that's the only way you're going to be free. You have a lot of laws at your disposal, and this is where the problem is at. We're studying the wrong laws. we study the very laws that enslaved us. Okay, learning how not to do 80 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. That's not our law. Okay, so what we are doing, we are having a unity meeting in about 2 months from now. We have a mass unity meeting of every group imaginable, okay? And needless to say, there are millions of them. But we're having a mass unity meeting, and under this unity meeting, we're calling people together under one government. One government, meaning one people have one. We're not talking about the names that somebody else gave us. Well, because I was born in 42, so I came up to the time when I was a little colored child and a little Negro boy. I come up through that. And then by the time I got used to that, somebody started calling me black. And I had to fight my way till I found out that it was more black people than was Negro. So I got used to that. They would come Afro. But these are somebody else's names. These are somebody else's religion. This is somebody else's concept. Somebody else's education. But we have our own system. We got everything we need to run a government and institute of people, including everything that you have right now. We can show you how you can take those powers. Let me give you the words that Dwali said. He said, I'm going to leave the European here just long enough to teach you how to run a government. So that means somewhere along the line, each and every one of us that's on this call right now and beyond has got some gift, some skill, some talent, some love that you can have to contribute to your government, to your nation of people. Okay? It's just the first thing you've got to do is realize that you have a love for the self, and that love is no good unless you can spread it to somebody else. It's just that simple. Okay? You must be able to see yourself as one nation of people, see yourself that you cannot be successful. It's like going to school. Why would you even start school if you're not going to graduate? Okay? Why would you even start something you're not going to finish? Why start a race if you're not going to go across the finish line? So it's the same thing with being free. Why are you going through all these little things if you're not going to ultimately be free as a people? What's it all for? What's a little group of, I was just talking with a sister with a sorority. What's the use of being in a sorority and you're not going to be free as a people? What good is it? So everything that you do, especially with the love that you have, the brother that I'm talking to right now, the love that you have, that you personified and exercising to your people, take that and transfer it now into a positive source, like a vanguard, like a spearhead, a government of your own people. And I'll be glad to help you out. I'll be glad, no problem with it on this end. Okay, I'll give you the email addresses, phone numbers, contacts, everything that you need to help pull the whole state of New Jersey. And that was the first state that Drew Ali tried to raise. Okay? So, yeah, we can do this. And it's going to be done. In fact, we don't have a choice. The whole world, let me give you the ultimate thing about this movement right now. Okay? It's been prophesied. It's been ordained. It's going to happen. But did you know that every nation on earth is waiting and looking for what it is that we have to offer, because they're going to want to know, how in the world did you get over? Now that your soul can look back and wonder, how did you get from underneath that United States yoke and law? Because we had buried you people. And now every nation is going to be seeking peace, the same peace that we're going to have. That every nation is going to want to know how we did it. That's our job. Okay? So we're here to help.
Okay. Before I go to the next caller, which is area code 347, part of the solution and what you can do right now, brothers and sisters, in regards to the solution, because the brother, he seems to be a lot like myself. I don't want to hear about the problem. Just give me the solution. Solution. So the first thing to do, step one, is go to www.moorishamericangov.org and scroll down the left column there and go ahead and register on the census to the Moorish American government. For the first time in the history of this country, you will become a citizen of your own government. Steph, too, dialed into the national conference calls that are held 7 days a week, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The number to dial is 760-569-7100. The access code is 437-966, and press the pound key, and you register in, and that lets the government know who's participating, who's actually serious about the solution, because you got over 60 million people of African descent inside the corporation calling itself the United States of America. And when we begin to realize that all we got to do is be resurrected as a nation, as a government with our own government, our own constitution, our own flag, all these things are already in place. We're just waiting on you. This is the solution to the plight of Negroes, colors, blacks, African Americans, and all the other stuff that we're being labeled as. Now I'm going over to area code 229 now.
Islam?
Islamo?
Justice L. Bay again, calling from America, Georgia. Already having praise and honor. Grand National Chairman, I want to bring this up one more time. Since we're here speaking to people all over the nation and probably other countries, we still have a few more. So here in the state of Georgia, and I believe Tennessee and a few around Florida areas, who are trying to gather people, and they still have the intention of charging them, believe it or not, an application fee, and want to say that they are being represented by the Marsh American National Government. Will you please stress to them what they need to do and what they don't need to be doing? And some of these people who are doing this are Moors who call themselves conscious from these different organizations. So if you would please, sir, will you please stress to them what they do not, what the things they don't need to be doing and the things they need to be doing to help the people, please, sir?
Well, for one thing, in the words of Noble Dwali, nationality is free. Not only here, but all over the world. We have been deprived as a people of our free national name. There's only one of those. I think this one of the sisters said a little earlier about, I think Janet Jackson was a slave name. There's nothing wrong with Janet Jackson. That's Janet Jackson is not a slave name. The name that was given to the slaves was Negro, Black, Colored, Afro, etc. These are labels or names that was given, and that's the slave name. Your free national name, every nation of people only have one. Of all the billions of people in China, every last one of them is called a Chinese, because that's their one free national name, Chinese. People of Germany, Czechoslovakia, wherever, France, there's one free national name for everybody, for every country, every nation, one free national name. So these different groups out here that's selling through commercial codes, and they're selling rights to travel and drivers, you know, all kinds of things, including identification cards. Okay. This right here is nothing but a scam. Okay. That's all it is. If it's not going to free you as a nation of people under your own government, let it go. And you ask them that. If someone come to you and they're talking about, look, I can get you these documents, so that's another word, documents, and it's only going to cost you $2,000, okay, then you want to know instantly, where is your government? Where is your nation of people? And this going to get me there. Now, if they can't tell you where their government is, it better be in existence. They better have gone to the UN. They better have something to show, okay? If they don't, then you treat them just like, you know, say, look, I love you, but right now you're a shadow. You haven't come into existence yet. You still got a head. I see you got arms and eyes, but you ain't making no sound. So that means that don't turn your back on them. You still got to love them, but realize that they're part of the tomb. Okay? And they said that this time was going to come where the actual dead would actually walk the earth. They would speak a dead language. It don't mean anything. You got people that overstand and all kinds of things going on now. It's a dead language. It don't mean anything. You can't use it in the court of law. Nothing. So what you do when the people come up to you that way, there's only one way to get free from slavery, and that is to come. You must go back to being a nation of people. It's just that simple. And we are the one that set the laws up in the beginning. Go back to your own tribe. You cannot be. There's no such thing as individual sovereignty. Don't let nobody try to sell it to you. This is a sovereign. You indigenous. You aboriginal. And let me sell some of it to you. No, don't accept that. We're 60 million strong here in the Northwestern Hemisphere. I mean 60 million. And whatever it is that they're selling you, it better incorporate all of us, okay? Brother Bay, you got it. Brother L. Bay, you got it.
Okay. All right. Well, we got one more, and then we're going to go on. We only have 28 minutes, so we're going to ask everybody to be brief, and then we'll go on and continue until we get to the close of this broadcast. Area code 118. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment? Area code 118. Okay. All right. Area code 229. Question and comment.
Is on.
Just
a big call from America's George. Having risen, giving all praise and honor. Master Teacher, sir, there's still a little moment about the class action lawsuit that the Moorish American government is going to be, as some say, pursuing, participating to collect the large amount of funds for each African descendant. Will you please inform? Well, give people some idea of what it takes to file this type of class action lawsuit, please, sir. Because we have some Moors in some areas around the country, north of the continent, north and south, who still have the intention of demonstrating bad behavior by getting up groups of people. Some still have in mind or charging people, as they've been doing for the nationality, you know, trying to get people to pay for the nationality, trying to get people to pay for, you know the old story. But if you will you please explain them some of the things they need to be doing to help the Moorish American government prepare for this? Thank you, sir.
Well, there was a time when this said class action lawsuit against the birth certificates and the marriage licenses and things that actually was used to re-enslave you, make you property. And from the state where you was born or got legally got a license for. But right now we are forming ourselves as a government, and we don't have time to file class action lawsuits against another government. The United States and the West in its entirety is going to be made to pay, and they're going to have to pay in compound interest. That's not a problem. But in order for them to pay properly, you've got to be a nation of people. For example, as long as you're in a slave situation, you can't get reparation, okay? Although you can say, well, I want an apology, and you apologize to me, then you pay me some money. It don't work that way. No society, no nation, no government owes a slave or property anything. Now, once you become, reparations are only given to those people who are a recognized people with their own sovereign powers, okay, as a government. And this is when reparations can be demanded. So, like so, when it comes down to class action lawsuits and things, there was a time that we was instituting those things. But right now, No, it's not the time. And the reason why it's not the time, because we are busy saving ourselves as a people. And once we do that, then the laws of London and everywhere else is going to open up to us and give us back what is due to us, okay? And the only thing about it is they don't have to give us anything because it's already ours anyway. We're the actual land owners of the continent of the Americas. This is before it became Canada, the United States, and Mexico, and Cuba, and all that. No, this is ours anyway. So it's up to us right now. We're taking the freedom to exercise ourselves as the actual land owners, okay? And you do that by being yourself under one free national name as a nation of people with your own government. So don't pay them little people no mind that they call themselves doing this class action lawsuit, because they're trying to do it through our own proclamation declaration that we took to the UN anyway. And if that ever shows up with somebody else's name on it, we're going to stomp a mud hole into my personal self, okay? And not only that, but you don't want to run into Obama. And let me tell you about Obama, okay, or Bush or anybody else who is in the president's office. When we are recognized as a people, the president of the United States is not only the president of the United States, because there has been a civil disturbance there. In other words, a civil upheaval, meaning we are the one that's gone. Okay, we're the one that's no longer there. So therefore, it is the commander in chief of the military who, like Drew Ali said, they're going to be forced to enforce our law and protect us as a people. Okay? So those who want to go contrary and they want to go against the United States, it's of course the thing. This is not the time for that foolishness. What you look like going up slapping a lion in the mouth with some red meat and you ain't got no drawers on, talking about you better not bite me. You ain't got no jurisdiction over me. You all up in his court, I'm sorry, in his den, slapping a lion in the mouth. Stay out of there. And so, Justice, don't pay them people no mind, okay? Because they ain't got but two ways to go, and that's us or the other government, and neither one of them, they can't win in either one of them, and we ain't going nowhere.
Okay.
All right, Brother Bay.
All right. Now, we have 22 minutes left, and I want to get this question out. Could you please tell us, what did the Prophet Noble Drew Ali say about the Masons of African descent inside the United States?
You know, Mo, what the Prophet said, look, I've come to take the covers of all secret societies. Because the secret society was used to bury his people. Okay? That's why when he said, I've come to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. We don't know. Right now, most of our people wouldn't know the enemy if they kiss him in the mouth. They don't know Western Freemasonry is the enemy. They don't know who it was, the Congress that wrote the 14th Amendment and wrote them in as persons. They don't know that was the enemy. They love Masonry. They love being a part of sorority. These Masonic or fraternal orders and the congressional sorority, look, they are the one that buried you. Okay, it's just that it's not a long, drawn-out situation. That which has enslaved you cannot be used to free you. It's just that simple. So we have got to wake up. So Drew Ali said when he took the covers off all the secret society, that's why we're having this class, this program right now, because the covers is off. If you want, after listening to this broadcast and you still want to go back and be a Mason, you still want to go back and practice that, for, you know, that sorority, that's on you. But you can't say that you wasn't told the truth. You can't say that you wasn't informed which direction to go. You can't say that you didn't know about freedom. Okay? That's what it's for. Drew Ali is still here. He said, I've come to pull the covers off all secret society. You ain't heard nobody address Western Freemasonry until my book came out. Nobody. In fact, you find brothers running like little scared dogs, running, you know, right back under there. Matthew E. trying to pleasantly trying to free them. I never had so many people. I didn't know I had that much hatred could be gotten. People are trying to hate me all over the place. And all I'm doing is trying to free our people, which I'm going to do anyway. And it's not just me. I got a lot of help, the spirit of our forefathers all over the place. So it's going to get done. So the thing about it is that when it comes to pulling the covers off, you've got to realize who put the covers on you and hid you away from the rest of the world so that nobody can recognize you. Nobody wants to come and help you. Not nobody, nobody. No government, no nation. Look at Katrina. Nobody, even Cuba couldn't come in and help you. You're an alien. No, I don't want nobody coming and helping you. And right now, if the United States was to turn around and start the genocide thing, which is all over the place, right now, if they were to turn around and do it under their secret society, these are Masons. What do you think FEMA was created for? This is part of your Masonic order, is FEMA. They're the ones that have the chattel cars and the concentration camps that's going to take you out of here, finally. Those of you who do not want to form yourself as a government and save yourself, that's what's going to happen. That's the covers. The same thing that happened over there in Tucson, you know, Tucson, in 1921, okay? The Black Wall Street thing. That was Western Freemasonry at its best. Where do you think the word picnic came from? That's Western Freemasonry at its best, okay? And they keep killing you, and it's a secret. When somebody can take you from the shortly after you're born, and they give you a birth certificate declaring that you're a slave for the rest of your life, and you don't think that's worth fighting for, to fight to get against it, you got problems. That's the covers. When you go get married, and the minute you sign that marriage license, you go to a preacher who has been empowered by the very state. And that marriage license says that, all right, now we own you and the children you're going to have. They're ours, too. They're wards of the state, and we own your yes, yes, too. Through the marriage license, and you agreed to it. You signed yourself into it, you and your wife, such as it be. Anyway, Tahaka, you there, Mo?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm still here. Now, I'm going back in area code 229, we coming back to you, but let me hold on because I still see we have area code 118 still have the hand raised, so I'm going to open up the line again. Area code 118, tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what your question or comment. 118. You're breaking up, we cannot hear you. I'm going to have to mute you. Let us have it.
If all praise and honor have been given, Master Teacher, the Prophet Noble Drew Ali said, "If I can get you more to thinking, you'll say yourself." He also said, "I brought you everything it takes to save a nation, not taking the state ourselves." Then he said, "All moist Americans must keep the heart and mind pure with love and the body clean with water." A lot of people would say, about what the Europeans have done to them, why we need to be doing all of this, all these, you know, kind and divine things? Why can't we just rap against them and torture them and imprison them like they've done us? Could you please tell the people why, sir?
Okay. You know, you look real strange, and if people would look at you going down 125th Street, in New York, and Lenox Avenue, I live out of Apollo, and you look real strange with an orange jumpsuit on and shackles around your legs. But you got a plate, though. You know, it's a tin plate. But at the same time, why are you wearing prison issue and you in the free society? So that is just, that is to say that when you are out of jail, when you are out of slavery, then you should no longer wear the slave clothes. You should no longer use the slave language. You should no longer eat the slave food. You should no longer obey the slave master. When you are free, then you should get away from those things that enslaved you. I hope that answered your question.
Okay, we're going to area code 203. Area code 203, tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what your question or comment.
Yeah, this is Al again from Bridgeport, Connecticut. I have a question and a comment. The master teacher said, he mentioned something about the Constitution was used in slavery, so we don't need to be using the Constitution. We need to build the nation, become sovereign, and use international law. Now, how do we get into the international court to, you know, to argue our cases if we're really not organized as a nation? In order to have a nation, don't you have to have your own land? Don't you have to have economics? I mean, having a nation is just not saying, okay, I'm declaring that my own nationality, I'm declaring my own sovereignty, so therefore we have a nation. Isn't having a nation more than just getting a group of people to agree that we're going to be a nation? I know that's the first step, but don't you have to have things in place like an education system, a military system, economics, land? And my other thing is, you mentioned that like Islam was used to enslave us as a people, but I noticed that a lot of Moors seem to hold Islam as their religion. I don't know if it's the Islam that the Arabs are practicing or if the Moors feel that they have a different Islam than the one that was used to enslave us, but nevertheless, it's Islam. Now, as far as you mentioned that we are ancient people, we're Moabites, Canaanites, and Hamites, but you never said anything about Israelites. Hebrew Israelites teach that the Hamites are not our brother, or the Canaanites are not our brother. If you look in the Bible tells the children of Israel not to even mix with the Canaanites. So I'm kind of confused as to, you know, it still leaves the question open as to we don't even know who we are. You know, because the Hebrew Israelites will tell you that you're not a Moor, that you're not Negro, black, or color. You're Israelite. The Moors tell you that you're Negro, black, or color. You're Moor, you're Olive, or you're Moabite. I thought the Bible tells you that the Moabites are the Asian people. So how do you reconcile all of this confusion amongst the different groups of people, organizations?
Okay, Divine and Grand National Chairman, could you answer that for the brother?
Okay, that's that second question. I wish you'd have kept that one because that's sort of vast there. But the thing about it is, what you're speaking about, when you come to, you're talking about some religious tenets now. And that's one of the first things you're going to have to get away from. The reason why I say that, because religions is what they use to cover up the enslavement of us. And that includes what is now called Islam. When it comes down to the Israelites, that's a collective. It's a community name. There was no such place as Israel per se. This was a conglomerate of 12 different tribes of people that collectively they were known as. So you don't want to get there. When it comes down to the biblical records and say, oh, this came the original Bible, as they call it, it was called the Septuagint. These are teachers that came out of Egypt also. The best way to look at the Bible is look at the laws of Mayat, if you really want to know what the Bible is really all about, because they have contaminated those laws so much that you wouldn't recognize them right now if you were to look at them. And when it comes down to true Islam, our people are in no darn position to make a distinction as to what Islam is and what it is not. How can you determine what Islam is? You don't know who you are. And then you're going to listen to some Arab who was enslaving you at the same time? No, man. So this is the reason why, getting back to your first question, what we have our own constitution, which is required by law for any government of any nation of people to have. Your constitution is your real substance of that embodies me, you as a people. So what I want you to do, I want you to go to my website, well, one of them anyway. Then again, it's on both of them. I'll go to MorrisAmericanGov.org. That's MorrisAmericanGov for government.org. And look up the Proclamation Declaration at the SevenSealsPublications.com. Same thing, Seven Seals Publication, plural, Publications.com. And look up the Declaration and Proclamation of Status and Jurisdiction of Morris America. There you will find not only our Declaration of Independence, why we had to be free from the United States, but you also will see your Constitution. You also will see your national, international prayer. You also will see everything that you need to be a sovereign people. You will see your international emblem, your Grand National Seal. You will see your flag. It is not the flag of Morocco, okay? So this is what I want to recommend that you do. Then feel free to be at liberty to give me a call, okay? And I will help guide you the rest of the way. So you can call me at 434-676-1555. That's 434-676-1555. But as far as these other books are concerned, other religions are concerned, and this is not saying it with any disrespect to any of them, but the same people that used to enslave you, these people are not interested in freeing you. You got to do that on your own. So don't look towards the masjid for somebody there to teach you who you are. It's not going to happen, okay? Ain't no sense in going over to the synagogue and think somebody going to be there that's going to love you so much with your Israeli self that they're going to free you. It's not going to happen. Okay? And you know good and well not to try nothing with the cross on it. Because they don't mean you no good either. So it's up to you. Follow the God of your forefathers. Follow your ancient ones. And look, you got to realize one other thing, Morris, and that is the fact that you didn't get here by accident, and you did not survive slavery. Don't let nobody tell you about, oh, they worked you like a Hebrew slave. A Hebrew wouldn't stand a snowball chance in hell here in the United States, but we did. So that means that we got some divine intervention, some divine security about us. There's something historically sound about us that cannot be defeated, even by the European pale-skinned nations of Europe and all the religions on earth. And all of them come out of Africa except for Christianity. So this is what I have to say about that. Look for your own. Look for what's got your name on it. It belongs to you. Use it. Islam.
Islam. Okay, Divine Minister and Grand National Chairman, I want to make mention of the fact that he is a author of two of the most fantastic books in recorded history, Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation. You can also get that at MorrisAmericanGov.com or Seven Seals Publications .com. That's MorrisAmericanGov.org and Seven Seals Publications.com. That is Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation. It's a 700-page book, and that gives you the entire breakdown and also the Book of Ali, and you can get both of these books right there at these websites. Also, you must do a follow-up because, see, it's not enough to just put your information in register on the census. You're going to have to eat. You're going to have to be fed. And the way you get that, and I'm there, I try hard every week, 7 days a week, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You dial in at 760-569-7100, and the access code is 43796, and you press the pound key, and you're registered there, and the government has tons of information. You get a chance to ask questions, and your comments 7 days a week. So we're not some distant foreign thing for you. We're right there at your disposal so that we can gather the remnants of our people and do what we have to do. We only have 5 minutes left. Grand National Chairman, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to get to everybody, but we are going to come back again and be getting some more of this information out to you. And I want to say thank you, Grand National Chairman, for being on this broadcast and bringing this information out in regards to the Masons of African descent and giving us the background information and everything. And for those of you who have been here and participated in this discussion, I certainly thank you. And we'll move into the close of the broadcast. I want to say for those of you who are interested in what's going on inside the United States of America Corporation, you can contact me at area code 904-303-9061, and I'll give you my free articles, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game. And we also have the library that you can access for your individual studies during the times that you're not in the government, and so that you will have information concerning your history, your culture. All the background information is there, as much as I could muster up and put in there for your studies. And this is stuff that I have studied over the years, and it has enlightened me and brought me to the point where I am now, and that is being a divine minister for the Moorish American government and participating in the uplifting of my people. So, Grand National Chairman, do you have any last words in the last couple of minutes before we close out?
Yeah, Mo, just briefly, first of all, I want to give praise and honors. I want to honor everyone online for lending your ear and your heart. And I also wanted to make an announcement that we have a capacity for a few more officials out of government. Like I said, we have a theocratic government, and in so being, in order to be an official of any theocracy, like the, under Judaism, you have to be an imam, a rabbi. Under the Islamic world, you've got to be an imam. Well, here, you have to be a divine minister in order to be an official of the government. So from those that I've heard online, I would suggest you come on into the constitutional fold of your government. And see that we've got a few slots left for the divine ministers. That means officials of the government. And we'd be glad to, you know, to take your application and welcome you into the fold. Just roll your sleeves up, get ready to work, all we can tell you. But all the work that you've done, the skill that you have, bring them to the government and lay them on the table. And we show them how to exercise to the benefit of your people. So that's what I have to say. But it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor speaking with you. And we trust to see you on our conference call, our national class that we have 7 days a week. In fact, I'm getting ready to go there now because the Little Moors, they have their class on Thursday night. The children, and that's always a fantastic thing. So it's been a blessing, Brother Bay. So any kind of way that I can help you out, just let me know. You're doing a great job, and we love you. Peace.
We love you too, Grand National Chairman, and peace to all. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been your host, Suhaka Omanayo Bay, and we're going to close out. And this close-out song is for all the people that have been inside the United States, that declared itself as Masons. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say good night.